You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I'm Jamie Dumont.
I'm Rob Russo.
I'm Jennifer Simard.
And this is
The Fabulous Invalid.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome to the almost end of the year. Can you believe it?
Ooh, I can. I really can.
Yeah.
It's been a year.
It's been a long 2 years.
Well, honestly, we all are like PTSD survivors, it seems like, with the last 2 years.
Yeah. Like, you know, America is one big plane crash survivor.
I don't know. I don't want to actually offend people with actual PTSD or those
or
who
plane crash
survived
survivors.
A plane crash. Including myself. But it's just, yeah, it's. I look forward to a day when we can all just go,
Right.
Oh my God, and shake as one.
I look forward to a day where I don't think about who is president, regardless of who the president is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I went weeks without thinking about Barack Obama, you know? And now it's like Donald Trump has invaded my everyday.
Well, let's not think about it. Let's think about Broadway.
Broadway.
Although I will say, Jennifer, you very slyly slipped in the plane crash survivor, which you actually are.
Oh yeah.
But maybe we should have our listeners Google that and see if they can hunt down what it is.
Okay.
That's it. And
it's
if
a little
they
test.
Don't, yes, we will tell the story in the new year.
Oh,
sounds
I love
good.
That. Little teaser.
So what's going on?
What's going on?
With some Broadway news.
Yeah.
There is some Broadway news. Oh, am I saying it?
Why
okay.
Not?
So yeah. I want to get his name.
We're not
right.
breaking it, but we're
no,
talking
no, no.
about
this
it.
Was, this was actually announced a while
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
But
yeah.
It's really incredible, and we're all so excited about it. I think we're still talking about it a month or so later, which is that high school junior Andrew Barth Feldman is taking over the role of Dear Evan Hansen from Taylor Trench at the beginning of the year?
The end of January.
End of January.
Mm-hmm. And he's a high school junior playing a high school kid.
Yeah. I think it was Paul Wontorek and Broadway.com. They tweeted something that made me laugh. Not Paul's tweet or Broadway.com's tweet, but in response, Taylor Trench. Taylor Trench simply tweeted a little emoji of a balding old man.
Which he is anything but.
Which he is anything but. But it's such, we call him TT at Hello Dolly, and it's so TT's sense of humor. It's
oh my
so
gosh.
Funny.
Well, this kid, Andrew, is 16 years old. At least he was as of the time of the announcement. That's a hard show to perform for, you know, I assume Taylor, who's in his 30s, right? I can't imagine a 16-year-old doing that show. I can't wait for it. I'm going to have to get a ticket and go see. I assume it'll feel more authentic. I don't know.
You know what's sad is I actually don't know how old TT is. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have to look it up.
3 years old, that seems a little old. I think he's younger.
He's 52.
Based off that emoji, yeah, he might be, right? No, but I'm thrilled by it. And what's really cool is that this kid, I hate calling him this kid, Andrew. Like, I don't know him though. Mr. Feldman. That doesn't work either.
Junior Mr. Feldman.
Whatever you want to call him. He won the Jimmy Award for like best actor last year. So the Jimmy Awards, as I understand them, I actually haven't followed this very closely, but they're basically like the high school Tony Awards, right? They host this ceremony here in New York, and they get high school kids from all across the country who come and perform, and then they give out awards for, you know, achievement. And he won, I think it was Best Actor last year, you know, Best Actor in a Musical or something. Wow. And now, you know, a couple months later, he's going to be in the lead in
a Broadway
show.
I know. If I had been 16 and someone told me, okay, you're 60, you're going to be the next, you're the next Fantine on Broadway. You're taking over for Randy Graff. I mean, I mean, this kid must be so excited.
Right. Oh, I can't even fathom. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I need to back up a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Rob Russo, did you walk in knowing what the Jimmys were, or did you look it up?
No,
you knew.
Yeah, because I follow the news.
Do you know? Oh, don't say that like I don't. How dare you? Like I don't follow that. I do like it when Rob gets in like a snap.
I can be sassy.
Jennifer Samar, did you know what the Jimmys are?
I did.
Okay. All right. So I'm the fool.
Did I describe it correctly?
As far as I know, but okay, let's fact check you before we put this. But
I never fact check Rob. Usually, right.
You make an incredible mac and cheese. Though. Yeah. We just enjoyed some.
Well, that's my gift to the world, I suppose.
Your mac and cheese.
My mac. And
your food is art. It really truly. Is.
Yeah,
that's very sweet.
It's true. The upside down pear cake. What is it?
It's upside down pear cake.
Upside down pear cake. Beautiful a salad. Soup. A carrot soup.
Well, we usually it's like a grain thing and tofu and so on.
But it's winter now, so we're eating mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese until June. Yeah. I hope you're all ready.
It's two seasons.
And I do not mean to BS you. Food is love, really, and I appreciate it every week. You're incredible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's very, very kind of you. Although you did a moment ago ask me where the cheese plate was. So.
Oh, no. Well, every week we have an incredible cheese plate. And now I'm going to be on your ass because you did say one week, we will always have a cheese plate.
That is true.
I'm sorry. What's the second word in mac and cheese? Or the third word in mac and cheese?
Cheese.
Cheese. There will always be cheese.
All right. You're right.
Aaron, we're getting you a mic. Yeah. Aaron is so scared. But you know what I'm getting you for Christmas, Aaron? A microphone.
You know what? And also, every podcast I listen to about this time into the podcast, they end up like, you know, your sound engineer is really like, you know, Carlton the doorman. And, you know, like it becomes the person that you never see that you really want to get to know.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to know Aaron in 2019.
Aaron, we're teasing a lot on this episode, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, you know, Aaron. Speaking of cheese, Aaron had said to me a while ago
when we were cleaning up,
something to the fact of, like, I've never eaten so much cheese in my life.
So
you're welcome.
I'm a cheese file, so true for me.
The cheese is good. All right, we digress into a world of
congratulations, Andrew Barth Feldman. We can't wait to see you on Broadway.
Yeah. Yes, and I didn't mean to be flippant about the Jimmy Awards, truly. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think in an age where children are given an award for waking up in the morning, the Jimmys actually is a great thing. And as we've discussed before, and as just is evident in the world, and they even say in the musical The Prom, arts education in high school is incredibly important. And so to recognize the students is, I think, a good thing. And I was just me being flippant.
No, you're sweet. And I'd like to do a PSA to my friend Taylor Trench if he'd like to go shopping for some Grother's Originals, some like pince-nez, and some
Depends.
Depends, and maybe some dentures. We'll go together.
You're very kind.
So Taylor, if you're listening,
you'll help him up
February
the escalator
1st.
That's into the mall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Absolutely. Good. Well, on that note,
it's a community. You know,
it takes a village.
It takes a village.
You know that.
Oh, I know that well.
On that note, boy, we're a little poppy today.
We are.
It's as if we've been doing this all day.
Pince-nez.
What is that?
that's right. I wore those glasses once I was FDR for Halloween. But that's a different podcast.
That's 2019.
Yeah, that's 2019.
All right, guys. I think we need a little Ashley Park in our life.
All right. Let's do it.
As you all know, Ashley Park stars on Broadway as Gretchen Wieners in the smash hit Mean Girls, for which she was nominated for a Tony Award. Her marvelous portrayal of music diva Mui in K-pop earned her a Drama Desk nomination and won her the Lortel Award. Ashley has been on Broadway in The King and I, Mamma Mia, and Sunday in the Park with George. Welcome, Ashley.
An intro.
did I say Mui right?
Yeah, Mui.
Oh, good.
I know. When I first got casted, I was like, what is this word? Mui? But now, like, a lot of our castmates call me Ash Mui. Yeah, it's like my new nickname. So,
did you know a lot about K-pop before you started in K-pop?
You know what? I didn't. I remember there were a couple groups that I, like, loved a lot when I was younger. But I knew that it was such a... It was one of the first workshops I did when I came to the city. And I was originally in the girl group. And so I was, like, with it along its journey and stuff like that.
I'm going to lead in with the first question, which is normally just sort of fun things that we like to ask all of our guests. But before I do, I'm going to tell these gentlemen a little bit about my observations of you.
Oh, my gosh.
I work with you every night. No, no, no.
Fun story about you, too.
Okay. She's truly a light at the theater. She comes around with angel cards at the top of the show. And something, this is leading into my first question, but something that amazes me about you, because I'm actually quite introverted. I regain my energy from alone time. And when my perception of you is that you're very extroverted, and I'm astounded at the schedule you seem able to keep with such energy and ebullience and a light about you, and it's truly remarkable to look at. So that being said, how do you recharge your battery?
I think for a while, it's funny, I had a really hard time saying no to anybody and anything, and so that's something that I've learned and adapted better to, but I think that's so funny that you say that. I think that people have told me recently, wow, you really do recharge from being around people, because I have close friends in the cast, too, who are like, you should take a day. Like, why don't you take a day? Or just, like, on a Monday, why don't you not do anything? And, like, I said, you know, I take care of myself, but I really do love being around people so much. And especially at our show, like, when I come from, like, a day of filming, or, like, I'm so tired. But, like, that's one of the reasons I do angel cards, because seeing everybody and, like, talking to them makes me so excited to be there again. So I think that, I guess that... Yeah, I guess that answers
that. What's an angel card? I'm sorry, I don't know that.
Oh, you know what's so funny is I learned them from my Broadway debut was Mamma Mia, and Judy McLean would go around, and the Broadhurst Theater, it's like all of these different floors, and she would go up to every floor of the theater, and she would go, and it's like this baggie of kind of intentions or directions for the day, and every of the angel cards say like light or purpose or surrender or something like that, and I have everybody in the cast like take a card, and you kind of apply that angel either personally or on stage for that day, which makes it fun when you're doing a show for like the 300th time, right? Or in Mamma Mia's case, for the 300th year, you know? Yeah. So, and for me, I started doing it. I love that example. I was like, what a leading lady, like to interact with everybody on stage before you go on stage. And for me, the King and I, my role in that as Tuptim, I truly don't interact with, like, everybody's side-eyeing me, and like I'm such an outcast for most of the show, and then all of a sudden act to have to narrate and support a cast of dancers, 30 dancers in a ballet for 20 minutes, and I felt crazy not interacting with anybody and then having to have this huge scene with all of them. So I think that was my way of being like, this is me as Ashley being like, how is your day? And like, oh, you got like patience as your like angel card. Like, what does that mean? You know? And then like getting to do the show, it like helped me a little bit.
I did that when I was Tuptim too.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's my favorite Jen Savoie. The other day she was like, Ashley, I have to tell you something.
It was horrible. I was doing summer stock in 1992, and in most summer stocks, you get cast in maybe three different shows, and usually, like, you're really right for two of the three, which was the case with me. I was Lily and Annie, and Maggie and Lend Me a Tenor, and then Tuptim in The King and I.
Oh my gosh, so wrong. I love it so much.
And I told that to Ashley. No, I told that to Ashley. She nearly fell down the stairs.
No, truly, I did. It was like during intermission or something, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need that picture now. Or
doesn't Tuptim have that crazy high note at the end of Lord and Master?
Yeah, I've never seen a more cruel track in terms of like you come on stage, you say like a line, you bow, and then you sing the hardest aria that Rodgers and Hammerstein has written with the highest note that they've written. And then you're like, peace. You know?
Then you go away.
Right. But like, you just like go out like right out of the gates.
The man may be my lord and master, though he may study me as hard as he can. He'll never know I'm
that note that happens is right before Anna enters, and how the way the Lincoln Center was built, like Kelly was always like right there in the like in, downstairs in the wings, like watching, which was like always great. So I was like, okay, channel all the soprano that you have for you, Kelly.
It's part cheerleader and part terror.
Yeah,
having
right.
Kelly watch you.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah,
you're a beautiful singer and actress and comedian and dancer.
Wait, but I have to say, okay, so here's my story about you is that. Me and, so Erica Henningsen, who's also one of the stars of Mean Girls, we were best friends from college. We've known each other for years, and we've been with each other through so many stages of our life now. And one thing that we did was go watch Disaster together before we knew Carrie and Jen. And we, like, I mean, totally fangirl, you know? We were just like, and I remember watching you in that show and being like, because at the time, I was still doing King and I, and for a while, I couldn't be seen for anything comedic in the city. I was only drama, you know, like nobody, everyone was like, oh, she's not funny or anything. And I remember watching that and be like, that, like your performance in that was one of the pivotal, like, oh, that is the potential of what you can do with the character. Like that is like, here's a character that was, I'm sure she saw these lines and then this is how she fleshed it out. And like the potential is massive. And that was like one of my comedic inspirations for Gretchen, like your performance in that.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever, like she's like, I don't think I've ever gotten to articulate.
And we have
that,
to go out and drink because we haven't really socialized yet.
I know.
We've all been so busy.
Well, you've been doing your solo concert, and I've been doing this.
I did offer both of you a vodka martini.
You did.
Yeah, I know.
Let the record show. You could be.
We have a show in like 2 hours. Can you imagine if we went there and like, let me tell you what your problem is. No, I've got it. Come here. Let's call Tina.
What's your angel card today? Yeah. Oh, it is good.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say you couldn't be seen for anything comedic. Did that change with Sunday in the Park with George? Because you were hilarious. In a part that's not known for being hilarious, right? Celeste is not... No offense, a standout role, and you made it a big standout role, all with a giggle, all with a laugh.
I know. I will say, I mean, I still have, one of the things I have framed in my apartment is a letter from Stephen Sondheim that said, thank you for your opening night gift and also for your giggles or something. And in the recording, I'll never forget that James was like, okay, can we just get wild takes of Ashley giggling?
I'm just a soul.
I think that was the transition a little bit, because I was like, still, it's still a revival, and it's still like, not an older revival, but it was still a revival and a period piece and everything, but it felt a lot more me than, the Celestes are a lot meaner than I think Gretchen is, though, even though she's
really?
A mean girl. Yeah, I think they're so mean. They're like the mean gossips.
Yeah.
They're what you would think that the mean girls would be, but yeah.
Well, do you think Gretchen is actually, I mean, I know they're mean girls, and by definition, but Gretchen doesn't seem that mean to me.
No,
she seems lost.
Yeah.
Or wanting all that acceptance and stuff you want. I mean, what do you think about Gretchen?
That's what I think is so great about the musical is that, as soon as you put like singing and dancing to anything, whoever is doing that is going to be a lot more vulnerable than when they're just speaking words, you know? So I think that that's what I love about it so much, and I love playing the character every night, is because like you think you're going into watching these three mean girls and immediately you're like, oh, they're just misunderstood or lost, as you said, and... Yeah.
I think for your character, it happens right away because you've got this beautiful song that right out the gate sets up the fact that you're a lot more complicated than just this ditzy girl, right? Because you've got this beautiful song where you talk about, you know, what's wrong with me?
Right.
And you're asking questions that you wouldn't necessarily think a vapid person would ask.
Right. It was a tricky thing for a while. I remember... Casey Nicola during the rehearsals took me aside and was like, hey, this is going to be a really, really tricky thing and you're going to feel really crazy about it for a while. And I did in the rehearsal room. I remember Carrie actually was kind of guiding me a little bit because there's a lot of times where I'd go off and be like, oh my gosh, I don't... because in the show, it's all so fast and so funny and a lot of stuff from the movie. And in the rehearsal room, it felt crazy to all of a sudden do this like ballad. And it was... such a slow and quiet moment, and I was like, oh my god, I'm totally like drowning in it, I don't know what, you know. And Casey was like, you got to trust it, you got to trust that once we get in front of an audience, like it'll start to flesh out. And I will say it's a testament to Tina and Jeff and Nell too, because the script that I came into the show with when I auditioned, almost every line is different, mm-hmm. except for like the iPhone line leading into the song. Like mm-hmm. they really developed the character in a way that is a lot, that fit the song a lot more. Because originally Gretchen was a lot more manipulative. I think like when, right before the song, she'd be like, oh, what do you think of those two? Like, oh, they're my friends, but like, you know, a lot meaner. And it just, the comedy in DC, it didn't land, it didn't fit in me. And so they really changed it, I think, to fit this new character a little bit better.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And you're lucky, because that doesn't always happen, right?
Not at all, yeah.
And Katie, even the lead character, she says at the end, you are real, you know, to your character, which I love.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I didn't think of that, yeah.
As an audience member, I feel so grateful, because I went down to D.C. to see Mean Girls.
Oh my gosh,
and
yeah.
seeing it in D.C. to seeing it in Broadway, like, you could write a book.
It changed so much.
Changed. And you could see all the seeds were there, right? And it's a testament, as you said, to this creative team and to the incredible.
Yeah, well, and to be candid, in terms of Gretchen, since you saw it in D.C., Gretchen used to be a lot more about boys, like who's she going to end up, you know, she sings this beautiful song about like being insecure with girls, and then the whole rest of the show she's trying to get with a boy, and she ends up with a boy that she, you know, and for me, we did that for all of DC, but we had a lot of discussions where I was like, this doesn't feel right or current or accurate, you know, to this character. Like, you don't need, the solution to a girl's problem right now is not to get the right guy, you know, and they really, and I don't think a lot of writers now, especially, you know, like, we're always developing stuff, like, are receptive to that kind of stuff, and like Tina's like, you're right, this is not the teenage girl that is right now, this is not the solution right now, so that really developed,
and all that work that you did really shows in the finished product, in you know, the show is just so tight and beautiful.
It's fun to do because it feels honest,
funny.
How did you, the three of you are really seem bonded on stage as the as the three girls. And what was that process like? Did it happen naturally in DC? Was it immediate? Did it take time?
Oh, the three of us. Well, it's funny. It's all, you know,
I'm talking about you, Kate,
and Taylor. Yeah. Right. Well, she was in my class at school. So we've been friends since freshman year of college.
Oh, Taylor, I thought you said Erica was in your class.
Also Erica.
No, so right? Erica, who plays Kate, there's four of us, right? But Erica is my best friend from school. She was a year under me. Taylor was in my class at school, also one of my best friends. And
is
she
this at
left after, yeah, and she left after sophomore year. So how this all like came to be, I mean, I was the last person cast in the show, you know, and I was doing, I think I was doing Robin Hood, I was doing Hood down in Dallas when I got this audition. But I knew that they'd been involved with it, and I knew that, and, like, Eric, I still have, like, the screenshot from when Erica FaceTimed me to tell me she finally got Katie, and I was, like, I was just so excited for them. But to be honest, like, it was never even in my, like, you know, like, when we hear about stuff, we're like, oh, I could be in that and whatever. I, like, never even thought I'd be considered for Mean Girls, you know? Because it was at a time, too, when I was, like, I really, to be candid with you guys, I felt like I was at a point where I was being brought in for so many things, and a lot of people wanted to see me for different things, but I sometimes felt like I was just a checkbox, like, we saw someone ethnic. We saw an Asian girl for it. So we saw her. We're not actually considering her to be this role, you know? So when I got this, I was like, I don't know if I can fly back from Dallas, you know, and I was coming back for a different callback that I was more invested in, you know? And but anyways, with the three of us, so it just, they had no idea that we all knew each other so well. And I think that it's, and also Taylor left after sophomore year and then went to do Bring It On, which she spent years doing with Kate.
Right.
And being Kate now, she's like my show wife. We do we share a dressing room, we share on stage together. Like, it was so easy because Kate also has a very, she was like a big sister right away. So I came in, we took the photo that was the poster a week after I was cast. And they knew Tina Jeff, they'd done a lab already. So I was like totally new. And so like they were so great about helping me. And even when during rehearsal for DC, it felt like a put in because they had already done this entire lab and they had the show already. And I was doing K-pop that entire time. And so I was like, which was truly the most draining thing I've ever done. In a great way, but so they guided. So it was a lot of trust, and like throughout this entire year, there's been a lot of eyes on Mean Girls, of course, and especially like the Mean Girls and Mean Girls. And I think that if we didn't all like trust, like the onstage stuff is the easy stuff. Like we all trust each other so much, and like we're looking out for each other, and like, you know, with all the scenes and developing and stuff like that, that it was just really great that we all felt very safe with each other.
Right. We never really do this, but how'd you like to have lunch with us this week?
Oh, it's okay.
No need for you to thank us, but there's no need to even speak. You're new and you don't know things. You need good friends who can tell you what to think. See you here same time tomorrow. On Wednesdays we wear pink. On Wednesdays we wear pink.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Let me ask you, if you were talking a little bit about, a moment ago you said, you know, you felt like you were being brought in to check a box, right? Like we've seen the Asian actress, which is a kind of a bigger, longer conversation.
Totally.
But is there a role out there that you want to play that you wouldn't necessarily be thought of for?
You know what's great is that I think that my answer now is different than it was a year ago. I really do think that, you know, and I don't know what that's in part to, but I do feel like there's, if I wanted to play something, like I could be a truer part of the conversation than I would have been, or someone who looks like me would have been. I think that I'm more than, in terms of how I look, I'm really interested in playing like a female character in a musical that isn't just the girlfriend or isn't just, you know, like I think that that's something that the musical theater canon is kind of like playing with right now in terms of the rhetoric or vernacular of like a female, like strong female character in a show.
Well, you've played a lot of strong. I mean, Tuptim is a very strong woman.
Yeah.
When you look at the sort of badass things that she does,
it's true.
Especially if you look at the ballet, The Small House of Uncle Thomas. I mean, she is really throwing it up in their faces.
Right.
All the things she thinks that's wrong with the world she lives in.
Right.
And that's to me, that's a badass.
I'll tell you what my answer would have been a couple of years ago, like for sure. My favorite musical of all time is Wicked. And I realized very quickly that I'm definitely Glinda and not an Elphaba, even though like what I would be seen for in the room is an Elphaba, you know? And so I think that's something that for sure I wouldn't be considered for, you know, that I'd be like, oh, I'd love that role. But I think that I'm really interested in terms of musicals, like originating roles now, too.
Well, that leads me to my other question, which is, because you've done revivals and you've done a new musical.
Yeah.
So I think you just answered it, which is, which are you preferring at the moment?
Right. Well, and in part, and I've said this to a lot of people when they're like, oh my God, that's you're originating. Like, how's that feel? And I said, I think that this process has felt a lot like a revival because we have this Mean Girls movie that is so iconic from the 2000s that like people are still coming in with the perception of what the character is or what should be, and it was about us. Like, I haven't watched the movie since I was cast, you know, like us putting our own stamp on it and like going back to the words on the paper and being like, who is this character, what's her spine, and how can I make that feel good on me? Like, if it's very, that's exactly what my process was for any revival that I've done. Yeah.
Are you getting any kind of fan feedback in terms of like your Gretchen not being the Gretchen that they expect from the movie?
Yeah, I expected a lot of, I guess we all kind of expected negative feedback just because we were like very realistic in terms of like, oh, you didn't have this line or you didn't have that line, you know, but I think luckily so, at least what I've heard is like, it's just so many people connect so much with the song What's Wrong With Me and like really connect with the character of Gretchen and stuff like that. So like a lot of the fans have been really, really lovely in that way. And it always means a lot to me in that way that they would feel that. Yeah.
It's a beautiful song. We actually put it on the show already.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to remember what the context was,
we met with Jocelyn Bio, the playwright of Schoolgirls. We were talking about Mean Girls versus Schoolgirls, and Jamie had put in a snippet of it.
Yeah, it was my first. That's the first thing I'd ever heard. I remember like getting, you know, the plunk out of for the audition or whatever, and sitting in this room in Dallas and being like, as soon as I read the lyrics and whatever, I was like, oh, I get her right away.
Tell me who we hate today, and I will fall in line. Hug me while my shoulders tense, and we'll pretend we're fine. Though we both know one day there'll be blood on the floor, but which one will betray? What's wrong?
I think all of us feel that way all the time, but especially for me, like growing up, and it was never like a question, but for me, to be, you know, real, if I was ever in a room with a white girl, I was always going to be second, you know, like that's just how I was like kind of wired to work, and I don't feel that way anymore, but you know, so What's Wrong With Me, I was like, oh, I just totally get what, you know, I totally understand where she is in high school, but I also like, I've never had a song where like I really, even when I'm not feeling well, like I always enjoy singing it every night. Like I've never had a song in a musical where like I truly feel that every person in the audience is really listening at some point in the, you know what I mean, to connect in that way. And like I'm so glad that that was like the core of the character that they held on to.
Yeah, that's a gift,
right? And they added that for your character,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
like,
so we get to sing a mini duet.
Yeah.
The reprise, I guess you'd call it.
No, it is, too. Yeah. Because that, they're like, oh, that is one of the themes, too. It's like, it's this circle that, like.
Well, to your point, going. Everyone can relate to it and see themselves in it. So, sad Mrs. George, who doesn't know how to parent her daughter,
right,
has a moment where she sings it and then you join in.
Well, my thing is, I think they're always wondering, they're like, oh, I guess we don't really wrap up all the characters in a bow. And I was like, no, that's Gretchen's ending right there when she sings that, because you're like, what happens to Gretchen? She grows up to become Mrs. George. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that kind of thing.
And you said when you were growing up, so what is the greatest lesson you've learned from your family or a family member?
Oh,
and
gosh.
And how it relates to what you're currently doing in your career.
Oh, well, David, actually, in recounting what your first question, which was, how do you recharge so much? Why do you, mm-hmm. you know, especially with people? I mean, I've been very open about, like, my cancer experience, mm-hmm. and when my high school experience wasn't in a cafeteria, I was, like, going through rounds of chemo. Mm-hmm. And, like, my diagnosis or my protocol was that I was alone in a room for like 8 months, like totally isolated. So I think that since then, that's why I do theater, is because you're constantly around people. So I like totally thrive in that energy and being around people because I was so deprived of that. And I love collaborating and interacting. And I think that the greatest gift has been, like, after that, my parents are just, I mean, my parents, my family, everyone is just so supportive. And they, they've never been stage parents, you know. They've been just very supportive and lovely, and they always have, like, faith in me, but they always want to make sure I'm healthy, you know. Yeah. My dad was like, he was like, when he saw Mean Girls for the first time in D.C., he was like, was that chicken thing in the movie? That was funny. And I was like, what chicken? Like the ca-ca-ca, yeah, like that thing. But I was like, is it a chicken? And also, like, no, it wasn't in the movie.
It's a bird of prey, I would think.
I know.
What, right? What animal are you making? Do you
I think of, like, a very, I think if I was an animal, I'd be like a very, like, either a, my Patronus is a dolphin, but like a very, like, exotic and very excited bird, you know? So I think that is what I'm going for. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes when I've been, like, a little under the weather, it's like a pigeon. Like, so yeah.
Just but choking, like, on pollution, like George Carlin used to say. And you're definitely, your Patronus, you're definitely House Hufflepuff. We've discussed it.
Yes, yes. Hufflepuff.
I'm Gryffindor. Sorry.
You are Gryffindor.
Slytherin rising, but Gryffindor.
I know. I don't know what my rising is.
Jennifer had to explain what all of that meant to me earlier because I'm not a Harry Potter person. But, you know, I do understand certain things in popular culture, okay. But just not that one.
You're a Tales of the City person.
I am a Tales of the City person.
Are we allowed to mention Tales of the City?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so, it's all been announced.
Are you playing Dee Dee's daughter? Who are you playing?
No, originally they had wanted... Dee Dee doesn't have kids in this, but you know how, like, she has kids with... They originally wanted that to be the case, but I think that they had a hard time... The timing is all a little bit fudge, right? Because it's been like 20-something years or whatever.
Yeah, and they're marrying a few books.
So right? I'm now living... I'm one of the residents of the new Barbary Lane. So, like, there's this whole, like, beautiful thing of, like, the old generation kind of mixed with the new generation of residents there. And, like, Ellen Page is playing Shauna, who is the baby, Connie's baby, right. That was, you know. So we're really close friends.
You were talking to an aficionado.
That's amazing, yeah. Me and my brother live in the pent shack on the roof.
Oh, you so live in Brian's old apartment.
Yeah, so what's funny is that they... you really know them.
Yeah, he knows
that's
stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But we had.
I moved to San Francisco in 1987 thinking I was Marianne Singleton, and it turns out I'm Dee Dee Day. So that was my journey.
Wait, that...
That's
He's
true.
He's like the one who lives in the mansion. That is so funny. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Hey, I'd rather be Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so what's funny is we were supposed to shoot all of our things in, because it's on the roof, like, as an exterior in San Francisco, but because they were, like, decided to build it instead, but, so all the stuff that we did in our pen shack was in the first episode, so on Tuesday we filmed 3 scenes from the first episode and then 3 scenes from the last episode, because it was all in that location, so we were like, what's going on, like...
But speaking of Mean Girls, you guys have a curtain to make, so I want to get you to your theater on time. But we always ask every guest this question. So Ashley, what was that show that you saw when you were little that did it for you, that gave you the theater bug? Was there a particular show?
Oh gosh, I actually never saw a Broadway show until I was about to be a senior in high school. That was my make a wish, was to come to New York for the first time and watch a show.
What was the show you saw?
Well, I was very lucky in that the Make-A-Wish Foundation in my region, like the godmother, like the head of it, was the mother of someone I did theater with. So she, like, took very good care of us. And we saw Lion King, Wicked, Spring Awakening, and Chorus Line.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I will never forget, too. she's going to kill me. My sister, I remember us asked. I was doing some, like, regional show. And we were like, do you think, like, Audrey, do you think you could come to Broadway or whatever? And she goes, oh, well, Chorus Line did, so you definitely can.
Okay.
Like, she has no idea. She also was like, when I first got Mean Girls, I was like, Audrey, you're going to China for a year. You can't come back. Like, you're going to miss Mean Girls. Because at the time, we were only doing it in D.C. And she was like, oh, tape it. Anyways, what show? I think, like, honestly, like... I remember watching Wicked when I was, like, in Detroit or something like that, or, like, watching musicals at, like, the high school, Pioneer High School, that I eventually did shows at, and being like, yeah, Loving it. I mean, I grew up at, like, my one of my favorite movies was The Sound of Music. So I think a lot of Julie Andrews, like, really affected me. It was the movie musicals that, like, I grew up with. And honestly, like, the age in the 90s, like, the Disney movies, like, animated Disney movies, I consider those, like,
those
the
are
musicals,
like musicals
too. Yeah.
Many
yeah.
of them have become.
No, we had musicals. We had a guest recently who said it was a film.
Yeah.
That was his yeah. inspiration.
I really think it was like yeah. The Sound of Music. I really think it was the yeah, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Oh my God, I loved Aladdin and Simba. I had a big crush on Simba, and it like it was a big conversation. My mother was like, it's a lion. Like, you can't have a crush on him, but Aladdin was okay to have a crush on. And then Mulan came out, and I was like, oh, mind blown. Pocahontas, all of those. So I really think it was the Disney movies.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. it. They're very, that's, I think, one of the great things of those movies is that they're inspiring to a lot of people in many
right.
different ways, right?
Right.
It's somebody seeing Mulan and saying, I can be that person, or right. somebody seeing whatever it is.
Well, I think that's the coolest part about doing Gretchen is that it's not only, you know, little Asian girls who say that, you know, like a lot of people are inspired just by like the character that has been developed or whatever, but I know like a lot of I would have loved to have a, you know, someone who looks like me play Gretchen when I was like growing up and be like, oh, I can do that, you know? And so it's a very like weird and odd experience to like kind of be on the other end of it a
to be
bit.
The one doing that for
yeah.
thousands and thousands of people that will come.
And we talk politics a lot on this podcast, but whether it's politics or theater or any walk of life, mm-hmm. representation matters. This is why yeah. it matters, you know? And I think we've said this before, I'm sorry for repeating it, but when Janine Tesori wrote Ring of Keys, one of the things she was saying is that, you know, little girls need to see something to believe that they can become it,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, just to
I was
add
just
on
gonna
to
say,
the point.
You can't be what you don't see.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. yeah. I'm so excited for, like, the little Asian and Black and Hispanic Reginas and Karens and Katies, yeah. too.
And that's one thing. Can we just applaud Tina Fey and co. for how I think our cast, the casting is really diverse. We have a really colorful stage.
Oh yeah,
and you know that's not the case everywhere. So more of that, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and your kids, your company, they look like
America.
Look like America.
They look like America.
Look like high school kids, and I don't just mean age wise, but they just look like what America
and different body types too.
Yeah,
you know
that's a huge thing.
Because the body types as well, and like. I love that. And she's also written alternative lines for when different people go, you know, because there's sometimes very specific lines in terms of like how people look and stuff like that. And so she's written some alternative lines for when there's like a Black Regina or like something like that.
Well, one of the things when I saw the show that really made me so happy was not only that, you know, the show is so incredible and so great, but that it will be licensed and high schools across America will be doing Mean Girls someday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the perennial problem of a high school, like, you've got Tevye, you've got, you know, all these male characters driving these musicals,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a pool of really talented, interested, excited young women
six,
who
like
want to perform. And here in Mean Girls, right, six principal characters are females. What name another musical where that is the case?
Yeah.
It's a lot other than like Little Women,
Mama Rose.
Right.
We are so lucky. We're so lucky.
Alrighty, we got to get you to the theater.
Yeah, we'll get you to the theater. Right. Thank you for coming down.
I'm chowing down now.
Good. Chow. Love you.
Rob here with You May Be Wondering. During our conversation with Ashley, she mentioned that fellow mean girl, Taylor Louderman, a.k.a. Regina George, has been a friend of hers since freshman year of college, and that Erica Henningsen, a.k.a. Katie Heron, her best friend, was a year under her in college. So you may be wondering, wait, did the entire cast of Mean Girls go to college together? Or better yet, does everyone on Broadway go to the same school? Sometimes it does feel that way, and for a very good reason. Not every college or university has an acting or musical theater program, but among the ones that do, there's come to be a handful that are highly competitive standout programs for training the most talented performers in the industry. The University of Michigan, where Ashley, Taylor, and Erica received their training, is routinely ranked as having one of the very best musical theater programs in the country. Michigan alumni include actors Itai Benson, Gavin Creel, Darren Criss, Hunter Foster, Alex Gimignani, David Alan Greer, James Earl Jones, Andrew and Celia Keenan-Bolger, Christine Lottie, Lucy Liu, Douglas Sills, and Jennifer Laura Thompson, to name a few. And Michigan's track record is not limited to just performers. Other alumni include playwright Arthur Miller, you've probably heard of him, director Jack O'Brien, producer Jeffrey Seller, composer Jeff Marks, the songwriting duo Pasek and Paul, and costume designer Martin Pacladinez. Back in September, Playbill did a survey of where all the actors slated to perform on Broadway in the 2018-2019 season went to college. Their findings showed that, by a long shot, New York University, or NYU, is the most represented. But coming in second was the University of Michigan. Other prominent schools include the University of Cincinnati's College Conservatory of Music, or CCM. That's where fellow Mean Girls cast member Kyle Selig went, and Fabulous Invalid co-host Leslie Kritzer went. There was also the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, Carnegie Mellon University, Boston Conservatory, Yale, the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, and Juilliard. While those are all schools that are well known for their programs, I was a bit surprised to learn that Oklahoma City University and Point Park University in Pittsburgh came in eighth and ninth, training nearly 40 current Broadway performers between them, including Kelly O'Hara. You may be wondering, sounds like there might be a correlation-causation question here. Does going to NYU or the University of Michigan mean you'll get cast in a Broadway show? Of course not. But just like every Supreme Court justice went to Harvard or Yale, America's most competitive law schools, it shouldn't be surprising that alumni of the most competitive arts programs in the country happen to supply the largest number of performers on America's most competitive stages. Keep in mind, though, many legends like Ethel Merman, Bernadette Peters, Donna Murphy, Bette Midler, and even the Fabulous Invalid's own Jennifer Simard, all of whom coincidentally share a Hello Dolly connection, either never attended or graduated from college. Next time you're at the theater, take a look in your playbill and see if you can spot the Michigan alumni on stage. Chances are, it won't be hard.
Jennifer here. That's our show. Thanks for listening. You can hear us anytime on iTunes. The Fabulous Invalid is a production of O&M Etc. and The Fabulous Invalid LLC. Our theme music is by Lucky Chops. Today's episode was edited and engineered by Aaron Kaufman. Find us online at thefabulousinvalid.com and on social media at Fabulous Invalid. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.